It's Wednesday, so that means we talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt Consolidated. Join us on this nice Wednesday here, now getting into the last part of August. John Allen, the Vice President of Agricultural Services for Brandt's. And John, it seems like we're getting closer to, I guess, an exciting time, and that's harvest.
Well, you know, from exciting, planting and harvesting are certainly the two seasons that we get the most heat up about and get the most anxious over, and now we get the fruits of our labor. So I think it gets closer. It always sneaks up on us. We think we're going to have time to be prepared. Next thing you know, it's here. I think we're probably 3 weeks away from much of anything at all happening at the very minimum. But what's out there, Roger? It looks good, and I know there's good spots and bad, but until that combine runs, we really can't say.
That's for sure. And of course, right now, as we speak, Pro Farmers Tours going across Illinois. I don't think they get close down to this area immediately, but I do know they kind of go up into the McLean County area. And of course, Brandt's have a big presence there. What do you think they'll find up there?
I don't think they're going to find what they found down here. And that's not that uncommon. We were challenged early up there with getting rain when we didn't need it, not getting it when we did need it. And there's some wet areas up in that part of the world anyway. A little later planting, so it ends up being a little later harvest. And it's going to be good. There's going to be bigger areas up there maybe that aren't quite as good as they are down here. But who knows what we've got down here. There's some places I think we're going to have some really, really good crops, and there's some places that that water we had during the growing season and should's going to take the top off.
Yeah, and it certainly I've noticed the last two or three days, maybe some of those edges at least that maybe had low areas where water stood, now you're starting to really see that.
It is really showing up, and you know, it's hard to put a percentage to the total damaged area, but let's say it's 2% that's damaged or 3% that's damaged. And then to what extent is that damage? Is it 50%? So now you're down to 1 to 1.5% of loss off the top. But, you know, those are just hypothetical numbers. We don't know what reality is until we get out there and start to pull it in.
Right. And I guess, of course, everyone's keeping their fingers crossed that things go without a hitch as far as needing parts and repairs.
Yeah, that's for sure, because a lot of challenges, a lot of shelves, part shelves that aren't full at the implement dealers, and all this whole pandemic and then some of the other things that happened in the worldwide have caused some challenges, and we're going to deal with it at least through the fall as well. So could be some unexpected challenges.
Well, to look ahead to, let's say, next year, I know the agronomists there, Ed Corrigan and all, have been talking a lot over the last maybe several years, really, about the need for sulfur. What kind of product lineup will you have for people that want to maybe add sulfur this fall?
Well, we can get anything that's available for sulfur. We're not big proponents of fall applications of sulfur because it can leach so much, like nitrate, sulfate is negatively charged and doesn't attach to the soil, so it can be lost pretty easily. So we're big proponents and have seen very positive results of spring-applied sulfur, ATS, ammonium thiosulfate, where you get a blend of elemental sulfur and sulfate sulfur. So it's hard for me to we can get dry sulfur, had it for years, can put it on and dry if that's what a person wants, or we can get dry ammonium sulfate. I don't think agronomically speaking you're going to get the best form of sulfur that you need. And as we continue to clean up the air and all the environmental things that are going on, the amount of sulfur that nature provides us is going down all the time, and the demands because of increased crop production are going up. So where we saw sulfur at a few pounds as being a great benefit to corn a few years ago, we see that now where it takes higher levels and soybeans are responding greatly to sulfur as well. So it's a part of that group that's considered secondary nutrients, not micronutrients. And truthfully, in today's world, it could be considered a macronutrient along with nitrogen, phosphate, and potash.
So if we're not going to be looking at a fall application, the premise of the question is what if there's more demand out there, what's going to be the availability of those products next spring, let's say?
We had some big challenges with ammonium thiosulfate this spring. We were lucky and been able to procure most of it at the end and got along okay. But from what I'm hearing from our producers and suppliers, they've ramped up, they've increased production, they've got more storage tanks so that they can build up a bigger inventory going into the before the season. So they're gearing up to hopefully be prepared to have all the sulfur that we need.
And yesterday, of course, was Ag Day over at the State Fair. I know talking with a couple of different people, KJ Johnson with the Fertilizer and Chemical Association, I was talking and we were talking about the anhydrous training, and that's coming up here, some events here in September. He also mentioned retailers might be doing some of that. Any plans for brands to offer some of the anhydrous training?
Yes, Roger, we've got some individuals that have gone to the course and are certified to train the farmers for the anhydrous handling that will go into effect for spring of 2022, where they'll have to be certified before they can pull ammonia and apply ammonia. So we do have some people. We're going to have more people that are trained to be able to help facilitate that. There's been some discussions about other forms of training possible too, but it's key that the growers know that after this fall in ammonia applications, they're going to have to be certified to put on their own ammonia.
Yeah, and I would think it would be in the best interest, for example, of suppliers like yourself to make sure that before somebody pulls a tank out of the lot that they have had that training.
Well, it'll be law. It will be required to make certain that's the case. And as a seller, just like selling restricted-use pesticides, you won't be able to sell ammonia to people that aren't certified that can verify that. We'll have a file at the locations with the certification of the customer.
Okay. And again, I think a lot of people, you know, before there are some trainings going on this fall, but maybe before we get hot and heavy into harvest, but then if they don't get it, there's time this winter probably to get it done.
The majority of it will be done this winter. Yeah, that'll be before it is actually required. I believe, and don't quote me on this, that the law comes into effect in April of 2022, so we'll have the winter when we historically have done a lot of our training meetings to get the farmers certified.
And yesterday, again, I refer back to the Ag Day over at the fair, that talking with Congresswoman Sherry Busto, she met with some farmers and some farm groups there, and voiced the biggest concern that a lot of them have right now is labor and a shortage of labor from all aspects. Is that one of the concerns that you have as well going into fall?
Actually, I would agree with her completely, Roger. That's maybe one of our top five concerns, and we dealt a lot with that last fall and last spring, where the pool of people that can become part-time help is very limited. A lot of that's because of the qualifications that they have to have, changes in CDL requirements, and with all of some of the certifications that they have to have. People that are retired and have been filling those roles just aren't interested in that hassle now. So they're very hard to find. Good help on a full-time basis, it's hard to find people that are willing to commit to an industry that can be so demanding in the spring and the fall of your time. But I'm talking to recruiters that we talk to. It's a broad situation across the U.S. Midwest is no exception. It's just it's really hard to find people that want to work, go to work and work that hard.
Well, then more kind of in, I'm thinking, your wheelhouse is now, are you offering any bookings for fall fertilizer, be it anhydrous, P or K?
We haven't posted any bookings yet. Actually, in conversation some this morning, we're probably getting real close to be able to put out some prepaid pricing for MP&K for fall use.
Well, we know that everyone has talked to, like they have gone up. Have they kind of stabilized, though, say, maybe somewhat over the last month or so?
I would agree that they've stabilized some over the last month. They've gone up a lot in a 12-month period. We actually have the benefit of a fall market in central Illinois, and this crop that's out there right now, we were ahead of the first increases in nutrient cost. Some of that was endured last spring, and then since that time, it's gone up a lot more. I had some examples showed to me this week of the gross dollars returned from a crop on speculated yields and current pricing versus a change in dollars needed for nutrient replacement. And it points very much that MP&K are still, even with the big increases, are still a great value and have gone up a small percentage compared to the increase in revenue. So they are very high, not as high as we've seen them sometimes, but the value still exists.
Well, I guess I'd conclude by saying, do you think at this point we've had, and we don't live that far apart from each other, that we've had enough rain at this point to get us to the finish line?
You know, my personal opinion, for what it's worth, is yes, I think we're there. I think our beans that always get a benefit from a state fair rain, if you will, they've got enough subsoil moisture. We've got enough moisture now with the rain we had last week, I think, to get through. Now, there was a lot of wheat that was challenged to get harvested. There's a fair amount of double crop soybeans out there. Went in a little later than we thought they would. It actually, in the summer, looked like we were going to get out there real early and get that wheat out and get those double crop beans in. Didn't work out that way, so we went through that rainy period. So, do we need a little rain later on to help them off? I'd say we sure do. Even if we get rain, is that going to be enough? Are they going to beat the frost? I don't know. But I think for our regularly planted crops, we should be in an ample state with moisture.
Yeah, and you know, interesting, I've noticed, I've been trying to watch and notice when start to see maybe some of those beans, early planted beans starting to change color just a little, and I have to say maybe they're a group 2 bean, but I have noticed a few beans look like they're starting that phase of turning, so probably in about a month we might see some combines in bean fields.
I would agree with you, and those early planted late 2s, we're just starting to see that, and it, like me, like you, have only seen it in a few places, but I would say that 3 to 4 weeks we'll see some activity on those soybeans, and probably some of the corn that went in real early will have some activity there. Some of these guys always have some early September contracts, and they get that corn down there in below 30, and they're forced to get out there and start harvest.
Well, again, as always, we thank you for the time, and I guess we'll sit here and hope for maybe a good harvest, good yields, and a safe one.
Can't ask for any more than that, Roger. That'd be great.
And again, our thanks to John Allen. He is the Vice President of Agronomic Services for Brant's. We talk agriculture with the experts from Brant's on a Wednesday.